You may or may not have noticed from the written materials that I am currently a panel chair of the District 4-6 Grievance Committee. I mention that not to polish my badge or anything, but simply to tell you point blank, I am not here in my capacity as a member of a grievance committee or a panel chair. I'm here as someone solely in my individual capacity who has managed to get one of these 36 years ago, 36, 35. Years ago, and hold on to it during the course of that third of a century with no findings of professional misconduct, no findings of sanctionable conduct, no findings of malpractice. And, you know, that's, you know, when you say something like that, it's like, well, you shouldn't, you're a licensed professional. But I assure you, it's a lot harder than you think when you're faced with clients who put you in challenging situations and you really need to thread the needle to make sure that you're acting in an ethical and appropriate manner. And so that's something I'm proud of. And rather than in any professional capacity with regard to the bar, I'm not here for that. I'm here because I've been in your seats. I've been the subject of grievances. I've had to fight sanctions motions. I've represented clients in who've been facing sanctions and facing grievances. And that's really my purpose here today, is to share the information that I've obtained in those capacities. So having said that, the PowerPoint in this segment of the seminar is about 99 slides long. I will assure you that in 49 minutes and 18 seconds that remain, we will not get to all of them. But the good news is you've got those in your written materials. You've got the paper. And I'll talk about why the paper is important in just a moment. But more importantly, what you've also got is my contact information. And the reason that might be important to you is because we may not get to your question today. You may not feel comfortable asking it in a group situation. But I consider, as part of your registration fee that you've paid, the opportunity, if you have a question in the days or weeks to come that you wanted to raise today, but you just weren't sure about raising your hand, give me a call, send me an email. I'm here to try to help if I can, and that's part of what you've already paid for in this course, and I'm proud to do it. Lastly, with regard to the observations, and then we'll get on to the substantive stuff, it's Friday afternoon. We're the last speakers. The Astros start their playoff American League Championship Series in about an hour and a half. I have been advised by the young lady wearing the Yordan Alvarez jersey in the front row that if I end late, I will be taking an Uber home because she will be in front of a TV watching the Astros. So I can reasonably assure you we're going to end this on time. When I talk about ethics, and I've done this, gosh, for about a quarter century, the first thing I think of before I get ready to give a presentation is, what's new in ethics? And the answer invariably is nothing. I mean, those rules almost never change. It's been decades since we've made a significant revision to them, or wholesale revision. Well, that all changes this year, because effective about a few months ago, I think it was July 1st, the Supreme Court of Texas enacted several significant revisions to the Texas Disciplinary Rules of Professional Conduct. Those revisions, again, would take me about 3 hours to go through all of them. I'm not going to do that for all the reasons we've already discussed. But I will tell you that they are summarized in the first three pages of the written materials, and I encourage you to review them. There are some of the revisions that are going to be more important to some of you than others. For instance, there's a wholesale revision regarding marketing services to clients. Well, if your firm handles that for you and you're not really involved in that, you probably don't care much about it, but just tuck away the fact that they've changed those rules. With regard to the main ethics rules that you will be interested in, because they may impact your practice on a regular basis, keep in mind the fact that this year, all of the changes have been done to liberalize the rules, to help lawyers to meet their ethical obligations to clients, to give us new tools in our ethics tool belts that we can use to effectively and ethically represent our clients. And so when you read these revisions, and the summary is pretty quick in the first two or three pages of the written materials, you'll see that we have opportunities that we didn't have before July 1st to ethically represent our clients. And I'm kind of frankly excited about that, because it seems like every time in the past, or in the 90s and the 80s, when we would revise our ethics rules, it was always thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And this time it was, hey, we hear you. We understand that it's difficult in certain situations to effectively represent clients, and we're going to give you some more options for how to do that if you find yourself in a difficult situation. And to me, that's pretty exciting. So keeping in mind that some of you may have tickets for the game tonight and want
Scott,
to get there for betting.
Can I throw a question up that someone's already emailed?
Please.
So the question is, if your client knows that opposing counsel in a case is frequently impaired by prescription medication and it will probably result in misguided legal advice and representation, do you, as their lawyer, need to say anything to them about raising the issue to the state bar or presiding judge, or do you just go on without saying anything?
Is this the client that I represent who knows something about opposing counsel?
That's the question, yeah.